Hey, you guys, welcome to my Tomes of Terror series. This is where I'm going to be reviewing horror books, old ones, new ones, whichever ones I happen to feel like reviewing. So let's get started. So when I was first doing the, you know, kind of background and like deciding to do this series on the 13 o'clock show was basically I want to get back into reading horror fiction because I used to read a lot of it. And then for the past few years, I kind of got more into nonfiction and I kind of got behind on a lot of the newer authors and whatnot. So one of the goals was, you know, I really wanted to get a good feel of what was out there, what was being recommended by other channels, like, you know, what was well reviewed and stuff, because there's a really, really lot of horror fiction out there, as most people know, especially with the advent of self-publishing. And I didn't really want to spend a lot of time like wading through like thousands and thousands of books and like looking for something good and, you know, having to go through stuff that maybe wasn't so great. So I kind of started going through all the Goodreads lists, like the best rated horror stuff, and, you know, started subscribing to a lot of other like horror booktubers, like, you know, book reviewers, and seeing what they recommended. So I was able to get like a pretty good, you know, core list of like the same authors that kept coming up, the same books that kept getting recommended. So that was kind of what I started out as doing. Now, one of the authors that probably came up, you know, very often, like one of the most often in a lot of these different lists and shows that I was watching, was Anya Allborn. Now, she is apparently, like, from what I know about, I don't know a great deal about her, but I guess she was born in Poland and she lives in South Carolina now. Her first book was called Seed and she self-published it. And it ended up being like the number one horror book on Amazon. And she subsequently got a contract with Simon & Schuster, I believe, which has published some of her like kind of bigger books. And, you know, so she's kind of very well known in the horror community. Now, that said, I hadn't read any of her stuff, so I wanted to kind of get started with, you know, reading all of her work. So I wasn't really sure where to start. Now, I'm going to say like right out of the gate, I do prefer to have physical copies of the books that I'm going to review. And I do actually have physical copies of a lot of the ones that I'm going to review. And I ordered a lot of them as well. So I can, you know, kind of show them on the show, because I prefer to read actual paper books. I know that's weird, but and I like to be able to like show them on the show. But this one was actually on, because I have a Kindle Unlimited subscription. So this one of her books was available for free as Kindle Unlimited. So I decided to start with this one. So I read the ebook version, which means that, you know, I don't have a book to show you. So, you know, I'll put it like over there, wherever. I don't know where I'm going to put it. We'll find out. This book is called If You See Her. Now, this came out in 2019. And even though I guess that she has, like I said, you know, a contract with Simon & Schuster, who have published like some of her better known books, this one, I believe she published on her own. Now, she says in the back of the book that this one, like, she kind of got started on it. And then I guess she had a baby. And like, so obviously she didn't have a lot of time to finish a book. So finally she got it done. And I guess she felt like she wanted to put it out on her own. So that's kind of what ended up happening. So this is actually one of her more recent books. I don't think it's her newest one, because I think she had one out this year, maybe. But it is one of her more recent ones. So I decided that this would be a good one to start with. And, you know, the synopsis sounded kind of cool. So the synopsis of this one, this basically follows a guy named Jesse Wells. And he lives in this little, like, buttfuck nowhere town called Warsaw, Michigan. And, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, he wants to be a writer and he's like, you know, I guess, and I don't want to say like smarter than everybody else in town, but he kind of like has larger ambitions from this little town and wants to get the hell out of there. Now, the book starts in, I believe, 2000 or 2001, when Jesse and his two friends, whose names are Casey and Reed, they're in high school or they're getting ready to graduate from high school. And what ends up happening is that I guess there's this creepy old house, like sort of out beyond the edges of the town. And it kind of has all these reputation, like, you know, about, you know, suicides, murders, like all kind of, you know, ghost stories and shit like that about it. Just your typical like haunted house type of thing out at the edge of town. So they decide that they're going to like have a few drinks and they're going to drive out there. You know, just to kind of hang out or whatever. Now, it comes to pass that Jesse has had a bad experience there when he was a kid. I believe he was 11 years old. And I don't think he told the other guys about it. But I guess Reed, who's the guy that's driving out on this excursion, he's kind of become obsessed with this house. And it's like, all he does is like think about it and talk about it. And sometimes he goes and drives and like sits in front of it in his car and everything. So they're driving out there and Jesse is like really not happy about it because he didn't know that that's where they were going to be going. So they end up going to the house and, you know, this is going to have light spoilers. I'm not really going to spoil anything that wasn't, you know, in the description of the book that was like on Goodreads and stuff like that. But if I do actually happen to spoil things, I'm sorry about that, but I'm just saying there's probably mild spoilers. I'm not going to tell you the end or anything, which will probably be par for the course with all the book reviews, because it's hard to talk about them if you can't talk about what happened in the book to a certain extent. So if you want to come at things like just completely blind, then, you know, you might want to turn this off and come back to it later, like after you've read the book. So they end up going out to the house. Casey and Reed go up because Casey is like a photographer and he's like fascinated with abandoned buildings and whatnot. So they go inside the house, but Jesse kind of chickens out and he stays outside. Now, when they go in there, it turns out that Reed goes up to like the fourth floor of the mansion and apparently jumps off or commits suicide. At least that's the story. So that's kind of like a traumatic thing that happened like in the past. So then we come forward to 2019, where, you know, Jesse is the main character and Casey are all grown up. Jesse has not been able to realize his dream of becoming a writer, and he's working as an English teacher in the same high school that he graduated from in the same small town, and he's kind of not happy about it. He did marry his, high school sweetheart or whatever, which he's happy about that. And they've just had a son, but he's kind of like bummed out that he's still stuck in this town. And he's, you know, he was going to be the next Stephen King, he said. And it's like, he never really got anywhere. He never finished a novel. He never did anything like that. So when we go forward to the present, then Casey, the other guy that was like his friend that was there when Reed supposedly committed suicide, he comes back to the house and he's been like acting really weird. And he basically says to Jesse, okay, well, we have to go back to that house to kind of get closure, you know, and he's just acting really bizarre. And Jesse doesn't want to go, obviously, but he does end up going, much to his detriment. Let's say that. And that's probably as much of the plot as I'm going to give away. Now, what I will say about this book is that I read it in like 2 days because it was one of those things where, like, when I was reading it, I was like, yeah, this is, like, pretty good and stuff like that. But then when I wasn't reading it, I kept thinking about it, like, man, I should get back to that because I wanted to see what would happen. So she does have a really good way of getting the story moving, getting you invested in it, like, really quickly, and getting you to really just want to keep reading it. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't really want to put it down, and I finished it really, really quickly. I will say too that I don't know if all of her books are like this because this is the first one of hers that I've read. I'm going to review some other ones too because I actually do have a print version of one of her books that I'm going to review eventually. So I don't know if all of them are like that. It's Stephen King-y. I guess not as like gory or like, I don't want to say like over the top, but it's a little more like low key than Stephen King, I guess. So it's like kind of like low key Stephen King. And particularly the main character in this book, if you see her, Jesse Wells, he reminded me very much of Jack Torrance, not from the movie, but from the novel, in the sense that he was, you know, a teacher who was aspiring to be a writer, but was kind of like perceived himself as a failure. He was also an alcoholic at some point, like when he was younger, but had been sober for a very long time, but it was still something that was haunting him and he still had like a lot of demons and stuff. And in this story, as it goes on and he starts to become obsessed with what's going on in this house and having visions about what's going on in this house and kind of developing this obsession where he has to like write about it and what he thinks happened there, because he starts having visions about this little girl and that's really scary, and he just like wants to get to the bottom of the mystery of like what happened there, even though he thinks he's making it up and there's like all this other stuff going on, or, you know, and you don't know if it's like just all him making it up or if it's like something that actually happened there that he's like tapping into somehow. But as it goes on and as he becomes more, you know, tied up with this house and like obsessed with his novel, he starts going very much like Jack Torrance's character, where he starts like descending into madness. He starts like getting really self-destructive. He starts like lashing out at people around him, like his wife and, you know, his friends and things. And so it gave me that kind of vibe, like big time. And also the kind of, it's not quite as sprawling as like a Stephen King story, because Stephen King tends to like have like a whole bunch of characters, whereas this one was very much just focused on Jesse Wells, and you're in his head most of the time. You know, there's other characters that are important, but he's kind of the main one, and you're seeing everything from his point of view. I will say, and I saw this in a lot of other reviews of this book, that the main character of Jesse Wells was kind of unlikable or was hard to root for. I didn't find him particularly unlikable, you know, and I didn't have a problem like relating to him, although I will say that he was a frustrating character, but I think he was meant to be a frustrating character. I mean, he had his own demons with alcoholism. He had his own demons of, you know, just feeling like a failure in life and trying to find like writing inspiration and not really being able to do it. He, you know, yes, he was depressive. Yes, he was, you know, sometimes he should have asked for help, or he should have told his wife or his friends or something like that what was going on, rather than keeping everything to himself. But it didn't bother me that much, because, you know, even though it's frustrating in terms of the story, it very much was in accordance with his character, because that's very much what he was like. He didn't want to ask for help. He wanted to be able to sort things out on his own and not burden other people, maybe. So I didn't really find that a problem. And like I said, I didn't find him particularly unlikable, although I can see how some readers might. This also gave me a little bit of an exorcist-y kind of vibe, too, in like, because there's some kind of demon possession kind of stuff going on, which I liked, but, you know, it's not super original. Like I said, this is basically a haunted house, demon possession, ghost kind of story, and like descend into madness kind of story. So it's like Stephen King sort of Shining-y with some exorcist-y kind of vibe to it, but not as like overtly crazy. It's more like creepy, more dread inducing, more, it's not like overtly horror. There's like some action in it. There's, you know, stuff like that, but it's not kind of like these big action set pieces. And it's very much focused on just this main character and a couple of other, you know, characters around him, which actually I kind of like. I liked it better that it was kind of a more intimate story. Now, just from a very nitpicky, because I'm really anal retentive about grammar. If you know me, you will know this. I don't know, like, if she had an outside editor on this one or whatever, but there was a couple of typos in this, which that's not a big deal, like a typo. But one thing that bothered me that probably wasn't a typo, because it happened at least 4 or 5 times, was that she would write that somebody had lied when she meant like had lay, you know what I mean? Like where the body had lay, she would say where the body had lied. And she did that like a few times, and it always kind of like made me go, wait, what? So it always kind of like drew me out of the story, which is really weird because, you know, everywhere else, like the English is like perfectly cromulent. It was, you know, it was like perfectly fine. But then there was just that, and it happened like more than once, so it really, really bugged me. So I was like, had lied? Did you like read that out loud? It's like, that's not how you're supposed to, it was, you know. So that kind of bothered me a little bit too. But like I said, that's very, very, very nitpicky. I will say that the ending of this was very bleak, which I dig that. I like that. You know, it can have a happy ending too. I don't really care. It's as long as it kind of makes sense in the course of the story. But I'm not going to like be all like one of those people that is like, oh, I don't like bleak endings or anything like that, because I don't mind them at all. And I think in the context of this story, I think it might have been like the only possible ending, you know, with the mythology that she had constructed, because what, you know, before it ended, I was sitting there thinking, well, I don't know how you're gonna fix this, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know how he was going to fix it. So I kind of like that. Now, from what I've heard, like I said, this is the first book of hers that I've read. But I've had her, have heard other people talking about her books that she often does do rather bleak endings. So just, you know, FYI, if you're not into bleak endings and you don't, you, everything has to have a happy ending or whatever. Also, if you don't really want to read about multiple suicides, if you don't really want to read about like a really depressed character who's just kind of spiraling into like obsession and madness and violence and things like that, then this might not be for you. But overall, I really enjoyed this book. Like I said, it's, you know, it's not a super original idea, but I dug it. I dug it enough to like read it in 2 days because, you know, I just kept, even when I was working on other things, my mind kept wandering back. It's like, man, I really need to get back to that and like read a couple more chapters and see what's going to happen. So I, you know, so that's good. If I had to give it a star rating, which I don't really want to get into the habit of doing that because it's, I don't know, star ratings just seem very reductive. But if I had to give it a star rating, I'd probably give it like maybe 3.5 out of 5. You know what I mean? Just a really good, quick read if you're really into like supernatural, you know, small town, haunted house, demon possession type of horror. You'll probably dig it. Like I said, this is only the first one of her books that I've read, and I definitely plan to read other ones. I have one, as a matter of fact, like in that pile right there, which I'm going to get to eventually. So it's, if you have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, it is available to read for free on there right now. So if you want, you can check it out, and I'll see you next time. Bye.